are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
He's strong, he's focused, he is a provider, but he's also alone. Many men are silently battling a deep ache, a loneliness that society often tells them they're not allowed to feel, whether it's emotional disconnect, friendship droughts, or unspoken pain. Loneliness can crush the spirit, but God did not design men to suffer in silence. Even Jesus in Gethsemane longed for companionship, right? Loneliness is not a weakness. It's a signal to seek connection, healing, and vulnerability without shame. And so we're having this conversation with Pastor Gwala, speaking to us about dealing with loneliness as a man. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning, Zama. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. This is Wongi from AWR. I know not most of the time when we're talking, we're arranging conversations with Zama. But thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor. Let's get straight into our conversation. Why is loneliness often more hidden in men than in women?
Let me greet the viewers first and appreciate that I'm given this opportunity this morning to just share some thoughts with them. Maybe before I respond to this important question, I need to say, in a world that often equates masculinity with emotional stoicism, many men suffer in silence. Society pressures men to be providers, to be protectors, and to be performers, often at the expense of their emotional and relational health. This loneliness, while hidden, is real and painful. But God did not design men to live in isolation. If you read scripture from Eden, Genesis 2, 18 to Gethsemane, Matthew 26, 36 to 46, scripture affirms that companionship, vulnerability, and emotional support are essential to human flourishing. That's why you are going to get that verse in Genesis 2, 18, which says it is not good for a man to be alone. Now, back to your question, which I need to quickly look at. Why is loneliness often more hidden in men than in women? I think there are a few things I want to mention here, about four things which are very key. First of all, here we're dealing with societal conditioning. From an early age, boys are taught to suppress emotions. You hear sentences like, boys don't cry, be a man. Therefore, vulnerability is equated with weakness and independence. That's what you are going to see. And this is celebrated over interdependence. The second aspect here is the aspect of emotional literacy gap. Okay? Not literally, literacy gap.
Okay.
All right. Therefore, here you notice that many men have not been taught to name or process emotions. They experience sadness as anger or numbness, making it difficult to recognize or articulate loneliness. The third aspect here is fear of judgment. Men often fear being judged or misunderstood if they express emotional needs. This fear creates a culture of silence, even in close relationships. Then the last aspect, it's men in leadership, fatherhood, or ministry may feel they must hold it together for others. And this leads to internal isolation masked by outward responsibility. Now, if I were to read a verse here, I would be reading Proverbs 14, verse 3. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. Therefore, I think I must just highlight those four aspects. Why loneliness is often more hidden in men than in women.
Right, right. And what are some unhealthy ways that you can think of that men might try to fill that void of isolation?
Well, there are a lot of unhealthy ways that men could use. I'm just going to highlight about five of them.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one is that you change your approach of things and now overwork. You use your energy, your time in producing work instead of dealing with the real issue.
Right.
Many men immerse themselves in work to avoid emotional pain, creating a sense of accomplishment while deepening the relational void. Mm. That's the first one. The second one is what I would call addictions. Then you would pick up that there is substance, which would be your alcohol or your drug abuse, or pornography or gambling. They become a coping mechanism to numb the loneliness in many men. Then the third one is hypermasculine behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Here you become an aggressive person and you become dominant and you are a risk taker.
Mm.
And these are some of the things that will be used to try and assert control and mask vulnerability.
Mm.
Then the fourth one is shallow relationships.
Right.
Men may have acquaintances but lack deep emotionally supportive friendships. Humor, sports, and business can become emotional shields in trying to avoid a serious relationship.
Yeah.
Because you are hiding a pain or you don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Then you have your emotional withdrawal, which is another important aspect, which is your fifth aspect here. Some men retreat emotionally, even in marriage or family, choosing silence over vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to read a text there again, I would read a text in Proverbs 14:12, which says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death.
Hey.
Because all these things, when they are done by a man,
yeah,
they appear to be right to him, but they actually lead to emotional death.
Sure. That's powerful. It's interesting, the scripture that you just shared there, because that's exactly what I was thinking about on the first point that you made about that accomplishment, that desire to accomplish and to do well at work in one's career, or even the other one you talked about where they start engaging in, you know, they're growing their professional lives or their sports and things like that, which in and of themselves don't sound like a negative thing. It's not a sin. To do good work and to be good at your job, that's not a negative thing. But when it then takes the place of, you know, emotional connection, and that's now you're using it as a shield, that's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah, like I said, Zama, our socialization is really has put most men in a difficult situation.
Mm.
It is very difficult for them to face pain. They always want to hide it. And while they are suffering inside, they put a mask. You will never know that they are going through stuff in life. And I think that's why if you are looking at the lifespan between men and women, men don't have a long lifespan. That's why now, even in our societies, you have women that are living longer lives than men,
mm-hmm,
because men are harboring these emotional pains and they are not talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can the church provide safe and honest spaces for men to connect emotionally?
I hope the church is listening, Zama. We are going to share a few ideas. I think about five ideas that I'm going to present as things that the church can honestly do to create a space for men to connect emotionally. The first one is that when we elect men to lead the men's organization,
mm-hmm,
we should not just elect a person because there is a space there.
Right.
We should elect a person that would be able to have what we call emotional intelligence, pick up that there are issues men are struggling with.
Right.
We must elect a man who is able to connect other men so that they are able to talk and see that they are not alone. Mm. That's a very important aspect. Mm. And therefore, dealing with this, and we must also avoid sermonizing the issues that men are going through. Men are fragile. They are very sensitive. When you look at them, you can think that these are strong. These are, men are very sensitive. They have a very fragile ego. Therefore, you preach about an experience they are going through, they may not even come to church again.
Hey.
Number one needs to look at those aspects. The second aspect is men need people to model vulnerability mm-hmm. in leadership. Therefore, when pastors and leaders are modeling vulnerability, it is important that they be transparent. For an example, as a pastor, I must be known that I'm not a super pastor. There are times where I break down, and my members should be able to understand that. There are times where I don't feel emotionally right. Therefore, that tells other men that a person who is in leadership can also be vulnerable. Therefore, they now associate with this person, and that makes them also to open up when they have issues that are troubling them. Therefore, modeling vulnerability in leadership is another important aspect. Therefore, men who are leaders should actually show those who are not in leadership positions that you can be vulnerable and it is not wrong to be vulnerable. Then the third aspect, which is very important, is that remember, men have different sizes and ages.
Right.
And therefore, one needs to understand that I can never be vulnerable in front of my son, for an example.
Okay.
Therefore, you need to group men according to their age, particularly African men.
Mm.
You group them according to their age so that they can be vulnerable among each other.
Okay.
And you also protect them, because remember, these young men are also taught the same thing that we were taught in the past, that men don't cry, men are strong, and men this. And therefore, we need to protect the senior men also so that they can be vulnerable in their own space. Then the fourth one is that men need to mentor other men. Therefore, mentoring becomes very, very important, and it must be intentional that we are mentoring others. And we can even, in our men's organization, just do like what women are doing. Women have what they call secret pals, where they pray for each other and where they communicate with each other and where they support each other. Therefore, we need to create such an environment for men in our organization so that they can begin to have mentors who are going to share with them that even in difficult circumstances, a man does push, but you don't hide how you feel. You don't hide the pain.
Yeah.
You deal with the pain. Therefore, that mentoring program is very important. Then the last one is that we also need training and exposure.
Okay.
Because if we are living in a community where men's feelings and pain is hidden, therefore it means we are going to bring other men who are going to join us and have that perspective in life. Therefore, we need to start training. We need to start exposing our young men to know that the way we grew up with is not the way that they should be dealing with issues.
Right.
Most of us could not stand the test of the time. Most of us could not even survive longer. Therefore, let's give them an opportunity to live longer and to be themselves, to live a quality life, because they are living a pain-free life.
Yes.
When I say pain-free, it's that you are not harboring pain.
Yes.
Even though you go through a pain, you work on it.
Mm.
Now, here, once again, I don't want to leave you without a text.
Mm-hmm.
If I read James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Therefore, there is healing. We who are senior, we need to be healed.
Mm.
And the young men, we are actually confessing to them that sometimes things have gone wrong because we have harbored pain within ourselves and we did not have an opportunity to actually address that pain.
I like that. I think because I like the balance that you've drawn between, you know, what you were saying earlier about how for an African man especially does not want to show vulnerability in front of his son or in front of young men. But at the same time, you're also creating a space where they can, to an extent, in a safe environment, still show an example to the young men, to the coming generation, of a better way of expressing oneself. So I think that's a good balance, that there is the safety for the older generation to still maintain that, you know, istunzi, that dignity that they want to hold on to without letting their guard down in front of the young men, but still showing that example of healthy expression. I think that's a good balance. And what would you say the Bible reveals about male friendships? When we look at the story of David and Jonathan, for example, and that kind of friendship, that brotherhood, what does the Bible teach us about that kind of emotional support?
Okay, I'm going to just share about five aspects here once again.
Okay.
Now, you've mentioned David and Jonathan. They actually had a very good relationship together. Now, if we were to classify their relationship, we would say they were emotionally intimate.
Okay.
We would say they were sharing covenantal values, and they both of them experienced a sacrificial love for each other. And if you are looking at the relationship they had, it actually defies modern stereotypical way of understanding male friendship.
Yes.
Therefore, that's the first thing that is very important, that we need to create that following after David and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are reading 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself.
Mm.
All right? Therefore, you are talking about that emotional, intimate relationship that they had, the two of them. And the second thing, now remember, these were straight people, if I may use that language. They are not people who are in the community that we now have,
right,
your LGBTQI community.
Yes.
These were straight people, and you are hearing such words that they loved each other. They were intimate. Now, this means that one could be vulnerable to the other. They created that environment, which is a good environment. The second one, if you are looking at Moses and Aaron, Aaron was a support system during Moses' insecure moments. You get that in Exodus 4, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, you can see men supporting each other there, making sure that men are successful. And when men are going through a pain, they have someone to lift the pain with in their lives.
Yes.
Then that's the second. The third one is Jesus and his disciples. Now, you would notice that the disciples were male. We are not excluding the fact that there could have been female disciples which were not named because of the cultural expressions of the day.
Sure.
But the male disciples and Jesus, all 13 of them were male.
Mm.
And the purpose of them were to be vulnerable with each other.
Mm.
Now, I want you to remember there was a time where John and his brother, they were vulnerable, saying they want a position in that. It is not easy to share your ambitions and your plans with men, because sometimes they shoot them down and sometimes they block you. Now that was vulnerability in their tent.
Mm-hmm.
Now for Peter also at some point to say, to whom shall we go? You are the only one who has these words.
Mm.
That's an affirmation to Jesus that they, because he's in their presence, they are growing, they are learning.
Mm.
Therefore, there are a lot of things that you're going to pick up which are actually showing how things work. And the other important aspect, if you are looking at Matthew 26, verses 36 to 38,
mm-hmm.
is that Jesus asked Peter, he asked James and John to stay close to him during his time of anguish.
Yes.
Therefore, once again, you can see that among the disciples, there were disciples that he was close to,
yes.
and the disciples where he indicated that he could be more vulnerable with them without any judgment or criticism. Therefore, he invited those. Therefore, that's another biblical way that not everybody you must bleed to as a man.
Mm.
Other people, when you bleed, they can actually make you bleed more.
Yeah.
Therefore, choose people whom you can bleed to, so that your bleeding can actually be stopped by them and you can be bandaged.
Mm.
There were very important lesson that we are getting from Jesus.
Mm.
Then the other aspect is Paul, Timothy, and Titus. Now here you are getting something very important. Paul's affectionate letters to his proteges show the deep emotional bonds.
Yes.
It shows concerns and it shows encouragement. He always speaks to them. Now, remember, Paul is a senior man,
mm-hmm.
And these are young people.
Yes.
Therefore, that mentoring approach that we talked about, therefore, Paul used that to equip and to empower these young men, to show them that there are times where things don't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't go well, don't give up. It does happen to me as a senior person.
Mm.
There are times where you go through pain. When you go through pain, don't keep quiet. It happens to me also. Therefore, Paul was actually giving these young men mentoring lessons and leading them to a right direction. Then we also see not only a male-male relationship. We see, number five, a good relationship between Boaz and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this exemplifies what we call emotional awareness and protective leadership, which is rooted in kindness and spiritual wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there are women who are ready to listen to our cry as men.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need to identify those women, because it is not only men that can comfort us when we go through pain, that can help us to heal.
Yeah.
There are also women that are ready to take that position.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, as we're closing, Pastor, in what ways do you think men can develop healthier emotional language and circles of trust amongst each other?
Thanks once again for that question. And here I'm just going to highlight also just five things in briefly. The first one is that we need what we call emotional literacy training.
Right.
What do I mean by that? Men need to learn to name emotions accurately.
Mm.
When I'm happy, I must indicate my joy.
Mm.
When I'm grieving, I must say I am grieving. When I go through a shameful experience, I must name it. When I have fear for something, fear to fail, fear of a project, fear of whatever, I must be able to name it. When I'm hopeful, I must be able to name that. Therefore, that's what we call emotional literacy training.
Right.
Therefore, we need tools like emotional vocabulary, charts, as well as Christian counseling can help there. Mm. Because as men, we are not as open as we should when it comes to issues of Christian counseling. It is women that are always available and women that are always dragging us to that direction.
Right.
But we are saying, as men, let's take an intentional decision to want to know things and to expose ourselves to areas that are going to increase our scope and horizons in life. Then the second one is spiritual direction and Christian counseling, as I've indicated. Once again, when I'm hurting, when I'm harboring pain, it affects my spirituality. It affects my relationship with other brothers and sisters in the community.
Yeah.
It affects them because I will always try to do something which is not me, trying to hide the real me.
Yeah.
Therefore, it affects. Therefore, we need to be assisted. That pastoral counseling is very helpful when you see that you are off balance, so that it brings you back to your spiritual roots.
Mm.
Then the third one is shared spiritual practices. In other words, remember I talked about that sacred pearl thing, your prayer groups,
yes,
your Bible studies,
yes,
your fasting, because some things, they actually need God to unleash out of us.
Mm.
Therefore, we fast. Mm. And sometimes we journal things. Men don't like journaling.
Mm.
Therefore, I need to journal my experience today so that tomorrow I come back and see how did I feel yesterday and how did I deal with that emotional strain I was going through yesterday.
Mm.
Therefore, journaling is actually helping us and showing that there is progression in healing so that I'm able to do things the way other people are doing them. Therefore, that would be an important aspect of shared spiritual practices. Then, vulnerable friendship. Encourage men to cultivate one or two close friends. Remember that Jesus story about the disciples? He chose those who are close to him.
Yes.
We need to do that because it affords one to have a vulnerable environment where there is no judgment, where there is no criticism. Therefore, it helps you to share your burdens, your struggles, your hopes, and even your spiritual life. Then lastly here, we are talking about family systems, which are very, very important. Remember, this thing of men hiding the pain, it is not something that starts with them. Therefore, it's something that is generational.
Mm.
Therefore, we need to understand that sometimes as men, we copy these behaviors from men who have been there before us. And therefore, at some point, we need to break this generational cycle,
yes,
so that we can begin to have children that do not see things the way we were seeing them and do not experience the things we have experienced. Now here, once again, I don't want to leave you without a verse, as I've always done. I'm going to point you to Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Very, very important. Therefore, I don't know whether you want me to make my closing comments,
yes,
or you still want to say something.
That's it, Pastor. Please close for us.
Okay. I want to make a call to all men of all ages, a call which I say is a call to wholeness. Loneliness in men is not a weakness.
Mm.
It is a sacred signal for connection. Jesus himself sought human companionship during his loneliest hours. As the church, families, and communities, we must dismantle the emotional silence imposed on men and build pathways to vulnerability, connection, and spiritual brotherhood.
Amen.
With those few words, I want to say two are better than one.
Mm.
If either of them fall down, one can help the other up.
Mm.
That's Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. And therefore, let us become safe spaces for our brothers to heal and be whole again. Therefore, this is a call to all our brothers, and this is an invitation to our sisters to also allow men to be vulnerable and to heal, and not impose on them that you are the man, you can't cry. Just like other men should not do that. Let us have a community that takes its emotional and mental health seriously. May God be with each of the listeners. Thank you.
Amen. Powerful, powerful. Before we let you go, Pastor, would you please pray for us and pray for the men out there to be able to find those healthy connections, that all of us can be those safe spaces, especially for those of us who claim to be children of God?
Okay. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and loving Father, we approach thy throne of grace this morning with confidence that we serve a mighty and a caring God. And today, Lord, we want to build a bridge for all men so that they can move from the side of silence and the side of harboring pain and the side of isolating themselves. They must move and cross the bridge to the side of vulnerability, to the side of exposing how they feel, and to the side of healing, so that their lives can be lengthened on this earth, and so that they can also live a meaningful life, and a life that demonstrates who they are, not a life that shows another side of him, which is not the real side. And at this time, Lord, we pray that you be with all men. Help them, Lord, to reflect you. And at this time, Lord, allow me to say, if you are going to save the world, save men first. Because when men are saved, everyone is safe around us. But when we are not saved, we also become a pain to those around us. Help us, Lord, to reach closer to you and hold fast to you. I pray for all men, young and old, and I pray for educated and uneducated. I pray for rich and poor. I pray for churched and unchurched men. And I also pray, Lord, for men who believe that they can produce the good results when they connect with you. Be with all of us. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Mzonzi Magwala, thank you so much for your time, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Zama. God bless you and your listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.